is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Monday the 13th of September 2021, and it is my pleasure to welcome you back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Welcome to Monday, the 13th of September, 2021, and we got 3 good days until general election 2021. Like the song say, election time is coming. I like that song. I like that song very much. You know why? I've heard a lot of campaign songs over the last few weeks. A lot of them, a ton of them. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. I am disappointed in all of them. And I'm going to tell you why I'm disappointed in all of them. Because, first of all, the song that I do like speaks to and for the people. The people that should be at the center of governance. The song speaks to what the election process is all about. That's what that term ACR mean, right? Instead of the government giving the civil servants an ACR, it's our time, the people, it's our time to give the government their ACR. Another reason I like the song is, another reason why I like the song compared to the field of other songs out there is because a lot of those other songs out there, all they are is badly constructed diss tracks. All they're doing is dissing their opponents. In fact, they speak more about their opponents than they do about themselves and their plans. And some of them are about, you know, they're coming close to hitting the mark. Some of the songs, they speak about the candidate and who the candidate is and what the candidate intends to do. But I want the candidates to know that even in a song, we expect a deeper reflection of who you are, the principles you're grounded in, and what it is you think you can achieve. But not just that, we're not looking for an identity in this moment. You see, if you create a song that suggests to me that you are the one who's going to take down the big bad Orange Party, right? That's the two monoliths, the PLP and the FNM. But that only speaks to one moment in time. Your identity has to be larger than one moment in time, because governance is more than just winning an election. That's why I like that song. Well, good morning. I got a little housekeeping to go through. Let's start here. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I have a brief message about the Real Property Tax Forgiveness Program. You still have time to save on your real property tax. Bahamian property owners can now take advantage of waivers on their real property tax in one of two ways: bring your account to zero or get a payment plan. This offer ends September 30th, 2021. For further information, email rptforgive at bahamas.gov.bs or call 242-225-5778, and that's a toll-free number. This message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Good morning. Good morning. I want to say good morning to everybody at BTC. I'm going to need somebody to go check on BTC. BTC is not doing very well. If you are on the customer service line for more than 14 and a half minutes, you're going to get cut off. If your problem don't take less than 14 and a half minutes to solve, you get called back. That can't work. Can't wait, BTC. But we know you're not well, and so I'm not complaining. I'm just going to send somebody over to check on you. But it may take 7 to 18 business days as our healthcare system is overwhelmed at the moment. Look at all of these systems that rely on each other that just aren't working. Also, another note. There was an accident on Cumberland Street a few weeks ago that damaged the infrastructure, flight of stairs, that abut the virtually existent, the barely existent sidewalk. Some of that debris litters the barely existent sidewalk. It would be great if the owners of that property would take steps to clear that debris. It looks like a hazard. The parts of the stairs that are hanging on for dear life, they look like a hazard. In fact, the structure looked like it could fall in the road anytime. But I ain't worried about cars the same way that cars are not worried about pedestrians. I worried about pedestrians. Can the owners of that building please come and ensure that it does not cause a hazard for pedestrians that are forced to use that roadway because they cannot go into town on the bus and get off at the bottom of Cumberland Street. What a nightmare. Also, if you work for Ministry of Works or you work for Water and Sewerage, there is a manhole cover between Grosvenor's Court entrance and PMH main entrance that has sprung a leak. I thought to make mention of it because many people would not notice that the manhole cover is leaking in the midst of the rainstorm and flooding in that area. But if you pay close attention, you will see that we have a small geyser rising out of that manhole cover. And since Water and Sewerage is doing such a good... Anyway, since Water and Sewerage needs our help and attention, I thought I would make that notification just now. So today's show is entitled GE 2021, Why I Will Probably Spoil My Ballot. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232, 325-4316, or 325-4259. You can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. We're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen in on TV on cable Bahamas channel 969 or Flow channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. If you are unable to connect in any of those ways, you can find the show on my Facebook wall. Caller, hold the line for a moment. I gotta get through my intro. So today's show is titled Why I Will Probably Spoil My Ballot in the GE 2021 election. Now, it's not my job to tell you how to vote. That's not my job as a radio host. And in fact, technically, we ain't supposed to be telling other people how we vote neither, right? But that's another story for another day. Mr. John Pinder. Good morning, Mr. John Pinder. Each candidate and party has 5 years to convince me to not spoil my ballot. Hear what I say? Each party and candidate has 5 years to convince me to not spoil my ballot. See, we got to set this thing off correctly. Now, while I know that my power as a citizen does not rest solely in my vote, I know that, politicians continue to tell me that the only real power that I have in the process of governance is in the election booth, right? And that I get to vote for someone and determine who is going to be the government. Well, that suggests that the vote belongs to them and that the onus is, or the duty is on me to give one of them my vote, regardless of how they have performed, whether in governance or in the audition we like to call opposition. But I look at it a different way. First of all, the booth is not the extent of my power and capacity as a citizen or in the process of governance. Second of all, my vote is not yours. It does not belong to the political class. I don't owe it to you. And even in my participating in governance, I don't owe it to you. You see, I don't have to vote for any of y'all, currently or historically, if you get what I'm saying. I didn't have to, and I don't have to. The vote is mine. And I still have other options than giving it to you. And just because I don't vote, see, let's start at the beginning. Just because I don't register to vote doesn't mean that I don't have a space in the process of governance. Just because I register but I don't go to vote doesn't mean I don't have a space in the process of governance. And even if I register and go to the booth and decide not to vote for any of y'all, it doesn't mean that I've lost my rights or I've lost my space in the process of governance. Now, the vote belongs to me. Now, it is a collective process. And like all things we do in this space we call humanity, we should consider the impact of our actions on others. So the vote belongs to me, and it belongs to my community. And they can come to me and ask me to consider what I can do with my vote. Now, I know a lot of people get upset when we start talking to spoil the ballot talk. And so let's be fair. There is an alternative to spoiling the ballot. And it is not A, not voting at all. And it is not B, voting for a political candidate, whether you want to or not. Here's what the alternative to spoiling the ballot is. It is to start your own party. Here's what the alternative to complaining about candidates you cannot stand is. You start your own party. You see, while the vote, your vote is yours, the process of voting is a collective experience, right? And so I say that while you are not obligated to vote, you are obligated to participate in the process of governance. And if you don't want to vote for one of these candidates you see, you can still spoil your ballot. And if you don't want to spoil your ballot, and you don't want to vote for any of these candidates you see on the ballot, you can start your own party. Now, over the course of the last few months, a number of people have said to me, when I've offered political critique, that why you just don't go start your own party, Ms. Green? Well, because I've already been labeled the face of gayness in this country. I don't think it makes sense at this time for me to start my own party. But I'm more than willing to participate in governance by supporting a party that is rooted or founded in ideals that I can get behind, I could stand with, or by sharing my gifts with the world. and just sharing whatever information I think is valuable with any party, with any candidate, at any time. There's more than one way to skin a cat. There's always more than one option. There are always other options available. So today I'm going to tell you why I will probably spoil my ballot. It should be clear by now that the political culture that guides, some say consumes, governance is not only ineffective, but it is dangerous. It excludes anyone that refuses to fall in line with it and the political class and the status quo. It is ignorant and only acknowledges that which it thinks serves it. It is duplicitous, hypocritical, and self-destructive. PLP and FNM administrations act as if they own the country. They act as if the decisions are theirs to make, not on our behalf, not for us, but despite us. They talk down to us about fiscal responsibility, but refuse to be held to account about the nation's finances. When they borrow and spend money, they are their decisions to make. But when the debt collectors come knocking, it is our burden to bear, and our children's and our children's children. And virtually no other party has done anything to suggest that they are any different. Do politicians and political wannabes see and acknowledge the political culture that exists? Do they understand how it operates or how to shift it? Are they invested in shifting it? Or are they content with the war games that Bahamian politics has become? Are new politicians unaware of the dangers of the political culture? Or are they willing to risk integrity and reputation for the unjust rewards? As you can see, it doesn't matter who wins the election. I think this is the most important part of what I'm going to say today. As you can see, it doesn't matter who wins the election. The people's mandate and the government's agenda will not be realized or sustained without a commitment from and by Bahamians to engage and participate across party line and politic. The people's mandate and the government's agenda will not be realized until we commit to, no matter who wins the government, putting down our party colors, putting down our personal political ideologies, and joining in the process of governance. Now, what's also equally important is that whoever becomes the next government must allow this to happen. They must make deliberate and intentional actions to shift the divisive political culture that says, if you ever work for the PLP government, you can't work for the FNM government. And if you as a FNM supporter, you can't contribute to a PLP government. The government has to deliberately and intentionally shift the culture in politics, in governance, and in the civil service to ensure that all Bahamians that do want to step up and support can do so without feeling excluded by party color, marginalized because of preference or orientation, or race or ethnicity, or ancestry, or economic status. I'm going to read some text. I'm going to get to this caller, then I'm going to read some text, and then I'm going to go through the rest of the reasons why I will probably spoil my ballot this election. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning. How are you?
Great. I'm glad that you mentioned that, because that was one of my thinking. Everybody is about, your party's going to lose, my party's going to win. What they don't realize, we had the PLP, we had the FNM, and in both cases, we have been losing. You're not winning a thing because you win an election. You've been losing because you've lost all of the resources. You've lost the benefits as a Bahamian citizen, and only the politicians got rich. The only leader I see that can lead us out of all of this mess is Lincoln Bean, the COI for the Bahamas. No. I've looked at all of the parties. Because when you ask PLPs, what is their plan, what is this and that, none of them can tell you. They're only interested in winning and having these magnificent floats and pretty this and pretty that. But at the end of the day, you lose because there's nothing that these two parties has brought to you. And we say that, oh, he's inexperienced. We have ministers who's experienced. And what did he do in the health area with the pandemic? Nothing much. When I look at Lincoln's plan and the heart that Lincoln Bean has for this country, and I look at what it is, he is the only one who brought all of these things to our attention, all of the natural resources that we didn't even know we had. So why not give Lincoln Bean a chance? You tell me that. None of these two politicians can't even stand up next to Lincoln Bean.
Okay.
So go black. Don't spoil your ballot. Go black.
Okay,
give that a try.
I can hang you up, but let's talk, right? Remember, remember the text line is 422-4796. So if I say anything that run you hot just now, right, you could text back in, but I gotta go. But I'm gonna respond to you right now, right?
Appreciate it.
The first one is this. Lincoln Bain say they can give the people $100,000 per person per year. That's the first thing. Before the 2017 election, the leader of We March, Renard Henfield, got up and said, this is not a political exercise. I want the people to know that. And at that very moment, I knew that there was something unstable about the protest movement that we were watching. Because surely, it was definitely a political exercise. What Renard was trying to say was that it wasn't a partisan exercise, right? But right in that moment that he made the mistake between partisan and political, I knew that the movement required greater critique. And in the same sense, it required those who want to critique it to join it to make it stronger, right? I'm going to say this to you. From the moment I heard them say that they give in every Bahamian $100,000 a year, I knew that there was something that required further introspection. When Bahamian Evolution, who said that they were not in this for politics at all, period, transformed into the Coalition of Independence, I became even more concerned. When the party leadership refused to define, to engage, to allow people to engage them about what a coalition of independence truly means, that raised a flag for me too. Because the closest model, the closest example I have to that model is the UBP. And I am not saying that the COI is the UBP or they intend to act that way, but I expect them to be able to speak to people about the model of governance that they are employing. These are all fundamental, important things. And caller, while you were correct, right, like the PLP and the FNM, their record is clear. The difference between the PLP and the FNM and the COI and other parties is that the PLP and the FNM have an institutional knowledge and capacity that can be relied on for reform within the party, but also for the enhancement of government policy and mandates and programs, right? That's the difference between the FNM and the PLP that we've already seen mess up and these other parties. I ain't calling them third parties because that is to create a narrative that biases them, is that those two parties have institutional capacity and knowledge that can be relied on by those who want to change the party. And then this is the most important thing. I'm going to say this. This is the most important thing. I remember when Lincoln Bain, as the leader of Bahamian Evolution, went into Rawson Square with a black dossier or looked like a letter file holder or something. And he said he was taking the documents in that file holder to the Federal Trade Commission, the U.S. federal government. And in another statement at that same event, he said that they are waging war on the Bahamian government. And Lincoln Bain and the COI have never come back to the Bahamian public to explain what that statement means. Now, when you say government, remember, we are the government of the Bahamas. Who you taking before the U.S. FTC? And who you waging war against? And why you don't feel the need to talk to us, to the Bahamian people, about it? Now, see, this is where the COI and the other parties and the PLP and the FNM are just the same. Where they are exactly alike. That moment right there. How you think you could stand up in Rawson Square and say you're going to wage war against the Bahamian government without coming to the Bahamian people about it? I mean, I see all manner of decisions in this FNM administration that are just the same, and all manner of decisions in the prior PLP administration that happened the very same way. Like I said earlier, it's as if, you know, you don't govern on our behalf or for us, but despite us. So I want to thank you, caller, and I'm going to say this is the last thing. See, I'm not telling you not to vote for the COI. But what I am telling you is, if you vote for the COI, whether they win or not, they're going to need you to achieve the things they say they want to achieve. Anyway, we can leave them right there. Got another caller. Caller, you on the clock. Good morning, caller. Turn your radio down for me, please.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Aaron, you hit the nail right on the head. See, what behemoths don't realize, and I have a problem with us not doing research and all this other stuff. Contracts were signed for those aragonite and stuff like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for you to go ahead and break those contracts, the world looks at you in a different light. I remember when one black leader, African leader, did that. The whole world boycotted them, and their whole country went into turmoil. Again, where are we going to get this $100,000 from? To give every Bahamian. Where are we going to get it from? Huh?
Yeah.
And you have to sit down and analyze stuff. And a lot of us are not on. Oh, we have money, and we want to jump on the bandwagon of anything that is saying giving us money.
Right.
I believe in earning my money.
But
yes, I believe in if the natural resources is there for us to accumulate wealth for ourselves, that's all good and fair.
Yeah.
But answer that question. Where's the money going to come from? And if we break these contracts with these individuals,
what are the repercussions?
How are the world going to look at us? Answer that for me, please.
Absolutely. That's one of the concerns I have for all of the parties and candidates talking about natural resources and the wealth that can be extracted. Where are you going to find the initial set of funds to build your technical capacity to extract and realize the wealth, and your legal and policy capacity to shift the policy and contractual environment in which these resources are traded? Oh boy, there's plenty, plenty things to talk about. All right, caller, let me get to the callers and then we get to the text line. Caller, you on the clock. Good morning, caller, you still there? I am sorry, good morning. I missed both of those callers. Let me get to the text line. Good morning, Aaron. What is the value of homes? Who needs to pay property tax? Well, the value of a home is very important. Like, the value of a home to a child's personal development, the value of a home to a nation of people that have committed to ensuring that we could all live and die in dignity. The value of a home, my friend, is something unbelievable. But who needs to pay property tax? People who live on a plantation. I kid. People who want to invest into a taxation system system to ensure that resources are always available, not just to take care of the most vulnerable, but to take care of all of our needs. That's why we pay property tax. Another tax, if Fresh Mark... if the market at Gladstone Road is a farmer's market, how come some vendors selling produce that has been imported? If I wanted imported veggies and fruits, I'll go to BFS to buy what they selling. Okay, I too am very upset. In fact, I get livid when I see imported produce in a local farmer's market because that's antithetical, right? That's like a Satanist going to the Christian church and saying, I don't like how y'all is do things here. Y'all need to change. It just don't make sense. Okay? However, here's what's happening in your market. So we have a winter season and we have a summer season. Summer season is fruit season. Winter season is your peak vegetable season. In the summer season, there's so few of the traditional vegetable crops that people eat being grown or able to be grown that the farmers tend to supplement their tables with imported goods for two reasons. Because they want to make money and they don't want the day to be a bust. Secondly, they're trying to sort of get the customer. Like you come here and you buy a handful of local goods and maybe you get one or two imported goods because you're here and why not buy them all one time, right? It's that little gimmick there. But I am and others are trying to encourage vendors to shift that. Now, and we talk in politics. Ministry of Agriculture. This y'all. Let's find systems that we can protect the integrity of the farmers market, but not draconianly penalize vendors for moving outside of that model. Sorry, that one is important to me. Thank you, Texter. Another text, do we really think this is intelligent talk? I agree your vote belongs to you and no one else, but what's the use in spoiling a ballot? No offense, but it sounds silly. Just don't vote or select the best person of your choosing if he, she loses. Okay. Listen, I don't even know if I have enough time to talk about this. I guess we're going to have another day to talk specifically about spoiling the ballot. But see, if you don't like spoiling the ballot, you should have told me to start my own party. See, if you had told me to start my own party, I wouldn't have been all in my feelings right now. But no, I'm not going to choose between A, who wants to criminalize homosexuality, and B, who wants to criminalize homosexuality and decide, well, let me see I'll pick who wants to criminalize it the least. Y'all really, really, really have been subjected to some traumatizing political culture that has convinced you that you have to settle for less for your own survival and peace of mind. And so I will not beat you up. I will just commit to working to deconstructing this political culture that suggests that you are obligated to vote against your own best interests. Another text. Hi, question from the earlier show. I don't want to disrespect you, Texter, but I don't have the relevant information. No time for this kind of talk today. So what type of talk we have time for today? You want to continue to listen to politicians tell you, just vote for the party. We don't have time to talk about ideas. In 2018, when they had the fire at BPL, and the people them tell you, we're going to get to the investigation. We still waiting. What you waiting for? You waiting for these parties to somehow change? Or do you think I should wait for you to start a political party so I could vote for something better? I should wait for you? No, sir. I govern myself. Why? People get the governments they deserve. So I govern myself. What kind of talk is this today? You going to go and vote for the party of Oban without asking them any questions? You going to go and vote for the party of the gambling referendum without asking them any questions? You going to go and vote for the DNA without asking them any questions? You going to go and vote for the COI just because they're different without asking them any questions? Caller, you on the clock.
It's Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Blessings.
Yeah. You hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just
could I cut the end part of what you asked about the natural resources? Just want to bring some enlightenment, because oftentimes...
One second. You run in this election, C. Allen?
No, yeah. I'm running away from the chaos.
So your party isn't running this time?
No, we're not. But considering the time allocated,
it didn't
give us suffice to fully develop our platform.
Okay.
Because we didn't want to be drawn out in the noise. We want to have a comprehensive, clear platform. However, beginning on the 17th, we become actively involved in what is called an accountability process. A lot of promises are being made.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we relinquish the responsibility of governance on the day after the election. And as such, we're going to move to fill the gap that is often left to other advocacy groups by virtue cataloging every single promise made on the campaign trail, combining it with what is necessary for the orderly development of the Bahamas, and then put out a platform of accountability.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, C. Allen.
But just on the question where they asked for the natural resources, you know, for almost a decade now, I often hear people talk about we need to grab natural resources. I heard the argument about nationalization. But again, a lot of individuals may not seem to understand either of those two. And they take the talking points where people say about how the international people will respond. Well, these things happen all the time. But here's one of the things, for the easiest way to understand how you can honor a contract. The power of the state is in taxes, and we have felt the brunt of it. And as such, you can simply, you know, let's say you have an aragonite deal where you're getting $2 a ton. The government can simply decide to put in place a law that, let's say, they're selling for $200 a ton.
So they could recoup the money they lost through the taxation, even if they can't change the contract.
Right. The government could say the tax for all export on aragonite leaving the country will be 85% of the current global market value.
Absolutely.
It's just no modification of contract. You just pay the tax. And so I'm simply saying there's multiple ways to address with the issues in this town.
But
just give me 60 more seconds.
Quick.
60 more seconds.
Quick.
If we solve all of the problems we have with billions, resources, everything, just form a sovereign wealth fund that says all assets known and unknown, seen and unseen, intangible and intangible, is to be transferred to the sovereign wealth fund. The sovereign wealth fund will then make arrangements with sovereign asset management companies who will then exploit those resources for the benefit of profit. They give get the maximum value, get a small percentage of the profit. So this is not a complicated issue for us to bring the ownership into the human people's hands and take it out of the politician's hands.
Absolutely.
So maybe one day we can actually talk about how it's done rather than the noise in the marketplace.
Absolutely. And I can be honest, C. Allen, I charging you with that. I'm putting on my Grammy hat today, my fascinator. I charging you with that. I look forward to participating in the next 5 years of this advocacy work, right? Of government sort of reform and oversight. Kermit, I'm almost certain it's time for a break. A run on plenty. When we call us, if you could hold on. When we get back to this break, I'm going to get to the callers, get to the text, and continue my list. I ain't even finished. We got to get to a wave with Brave and a new day. And all these other parties whose slogans I can't seem to find. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Stay tuned for your station for fresh news, smart talk all day.
Have you heard about the COVID vaccine raffle? If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The one that's 242, the count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell Bella. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Thank you.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Okay, so here's where we have to start. I got a number of texts coming in saying that this spoil the ballot talk is foolishness. It, from the perspective of the political culture, it is absolute madness. How dare you not give your vote to one of the politicians vying for governance? And how dare you not give it to the parties with the greatest chance of winning? Well, it's because it don't belong to you. That's why. It is mine to do with as I wish. And I'm not suggesting we just be reckless with it. We could be organized. We could be more strategic. We could be smarter with our vote. But why would I vote for? Let me just present the scenario to you. In today's Guardian, on the bottom fold, there's a headline, a story by Rachel Scott. The headline reads, "The unvaccinated placing, quote, unsustainable, close quote, strain on healthcare system." Public Health Hospitals Authority Chairman Julian Rohl warned that the system is facing, quote, unprecedented stress, close quotes, and, quote, unrelenting pressure, close quotes, as the test positivity rate and death rate continue to climb. Now, for months and months now, right, for weeks and weeks now, the powers that be and members of the public are suggesting that it is the unvaccinated among us that are causing the collapse of the healthcare system. Well, let me tell you something. I watched a video that was released in the latter half of 2020 that purported to be recorded, a recorded session in the Senate, in the upper house in the House of Assembly, with the Attorney General saying that they are prepared for the pandemic because they were well aware of what was to come from January 2020. And tell me, who in that administration has bought a JBR brick to improve PMH? Who has taken a pay cut and directed those funds to the enhancement of PMH and the Family Island clinics? How much of the $125 million the IMF loan us was used to enhance healthcare services and systems, PMH and Family Island clinics? How much? But a member of the FNM administration would dare to let anybody suggest that it is the unvaccinated that are breaking the healthcare system that is causing it to collapse? Not decades and decades of disregard? And to be honest with you, many Bahamians weren't concerned. They did not start feeling fear, the urgency of the collapsing healthcare system, until Doctors' Hospital told them. Till Doctors' Hospital told them, your money ain't no more good because we don't have anything to give you for it. Are the unvaccinated placing an unsustainable strain on the healthcare system? Or is it dereliction of duty, incompetence, malfeasance, disregard, a lack of integrity, a lack of morality, a lack of concern for poor people? Who among these politicians has taken a pay cut, lobbied for a pay cut? Who among the third parties have presented a sustainable wage reduction platform for politicians? Who has engaged the conversation? Who asked me why I'm talking silly talk about spoil my ballot? What's the official death count in Abaco for Hurricane Dorian? We're going to have to continue this show. I got a statement here. A statement from the Prime Minister. The quote says that he said it in Long Island. And I think that's an important note, a bit of context. And the PM is quoted as saying, the PLP like to get mixed up in global corruption. Corruption at home is not enough. If they are reelected, the Hurricane Dorian funds would never, ever get to you. Close quotes, Prime Minister Minnis. Are there Hurricane Dorian funds to be teefed? Are there any? And if there is, the way that we could stop that from happening is you could immediately apply those funds to the dome and home reconstruction project in Abaco. How about we do that? Could that work? Why would I spoil my ballot? Have you given me or these young people anything better to choose for? To choose from? Got some more texts here. I haven't forgotten you texters. Miss Green, you already vent. Could you let us vent too, please? I hear you. I hear you. Let me read your text. Ms. Green, I hope people don't blame the PM for the quarantine. People voting because the PM do a lot of ridiculous things before, but letting the quarantine people was not his idea. He was forced legally by the PLP. They threatened to sue the PLP party, don't care about people's health and safety. Texter, I could be honest with you. No. People weren't blaming the PM for letting the quarantine people vote. That's just a microcosm of it. We are very concerned about the lack of organization and oversight and attention to detail in the entire electoral process, given the fact that he called a snap election. But you're right. We have plenty more time to vent. Good morning. I didn't vote for FNM, but this government didn't even make me regret it. He catered to the rich, the foreigner, and his family and friends. His PM didn't even give the Bahamian people the rent to own homes he promised. Instead, he is now catering to his rich family and friends. So called young professionals, so the rich and wealthy get richer and the poor continue to suffer. I mean, that is one perspective. In the absence of anything to refute it, but I mean, that's one perspective. I can't say that's exactly what's happening, but I understand why you feel that way. Isn't our debt and the billions of dollars we have money to pay back lenders before promising gullible people pipe dreams? And if everyone gets $100,000 a year, who's going to go to work? I know for sure I'm not. I'm going to go to work because you think my church people could let me just get $100,000 a year and do foolishness with it? No. And y'all better be prepared. Think you will sit with your $100,000 and do nothing. Anyway, caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there?
I'm here. Hello.
Good morning. How you do?
You know, I guess you would be going on the beach Rodney Monk or Paul Bouchette, you and, you know, people like yourself.
Hold on. Do you think that's what...
As well as the poor.
Hold on. Do you think that's what spoiling the ballot is?
No, it ain't. It ain't. But I'm saying maybe you should just go on the beach. Don't stay away from the COVID environment.
But see, that's concerning.
None of these parties are liberal. So, you know,
right.
They're not going to address your issue.
Well, and listen, that thing ain't even my issue, you know.
It's one of your issues, I would think.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it's a broader human rights issue, right?
And if
I could be treated like that, or that issue could be treated like that, as we're seeing, any issue can and is being treated in the same way.
See, it appears like the nature of the Benjamins are that they don't care. They only care about themselves. They don't care if people are different from them. They don't care about the poor who are different from them, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, people that control the narrative.
Absolutely.
They want to deal with the issues. The only issue they want to deal with is the corruption, you know, the musical chair corruption game that they play. Now with the issues, they never want to debate or compare their policies.
Right. And you know they're not dealing with the corruption issue either.
Well, they only want to talk about it during the election. You know, with the Lincoln Bain thing, right? You know, I've been saying for the longest, how could you talk about giving $100,000 and you know, and talk about taxing it? You see, it ain't about us owning it, you know, it's about us taxing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because whether foreigner own it or Bahamian own it, you know, still got to tax it for the masses to get from it. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much. Let me read through these texts. Good morning, Aaron. Is selling tamarind balls capitalism okay in your thinking? Second question, how can LGBT promote sexual reproduction for procreation? I mean, because sexual reproduction is how we procreate. That's the only method of procreation, is sexual reproduction. They have some, they're suggesting to us that science has pushed so far ahead that in the near future they may be able to produce in a lab. But essentially, selling tamarind balls is not... Okay, is selling tamarind balls capitalism okay in your thinking? I'm going to get back to you with that one tomorrow. Texter, so biased, Aaron. So biased. Well, you just ain't get a chance to hear me eviscerate all the other parties and candidates in the run, that's all. Tex, you are correct that the FNM and PLP has institutional experience, but if you don't give others a chance, how will they get theirs? This is why qualification and higher learning is important amongst the independents and other third parties like the DNA, COI. At least the electorate can rest assured that you have higher learning, if not the institutional knowledge. Experience of running a government is very important. Boy, we're going to get into that as well, because I can't just give you a chance because you're not the other guy. And for those who think that I am being biased, wait until we talk about the PLP and ask Brave if this wave is a majority rule wave or the independence wave. Has he done anything since then to start a wave in the Bahamas? Anyway, we are all out of time. To my texters and audience who felt like they were neglected, you got to give me my chance too. But we get more and more days of this tomorrow. We're talking to some young people about how they feel about the snap election and how to get prepared. And then on Wednesday, we're going to have another open line and we give people more time to share their ideas. Thank you for tuning in to On the Clock today. It's 11 a.m. Levon Miller is up next with Unleash. So stay tuned to Guardian Radio, your station, for fresh news, smart talk, all day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.